Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. The great Michael Wilbon joining us here. I actually have some Laker questions regarding Jordan for you. You mentioned Magic. At what point do you think that Magic realized, this is the guy, I'm no longer the guy?
Well, it really did happen. And it happened like it was a pronouncement. Like, but I don't remember. This is why I can't wait to see the documentary, because there's certain things that I'm just going to watch and go, oh, my God. The game, and I don't think it was a playoff game. It was a regular season game. And I was there. I was in L.A. for it. And it was in the first three. So it might have been 92 or 93. And Magic said, you know that Jordan is the best player in the game. He just sort of said it. He said it out loud. He said it to the reporters who were there. I know Mark Heisler would remember. And it was, you froze. You just, because no one, no one had ever considered, I don't know, a non-big man the best player in the game. You know, that had been Kareem, that had been Russell, that had been Wilt, that had been, that, and then Magic, that had been Magic, or Bird, whatever you wanted to pick. For me, it was Magic. And Irvin said it, and Bird said it too. Bird said it too, and they said it out loud, man. And it was just like, I guess that's the case now. I guess that's the standard way of proceeding with thinking about Michael Jordan. And I don't remember exactly when it was, but it seemed, my memory says, and it's flawed now, George, that was sometime in, which would have been after the Dream Team, so I guess that would have been 93 in that mm-hmm. third championship. But yeah, they knew too. And it took, and look, they had to be convinced. And they had to be convinced on the court after dealing with him on court. And he never beat the Celtics. So Bird could have said, look, no, he's got to go through us. And he couldn't. I mean, Larry Bird's record against Michael Jordan in the playoffs is 2-0, 6-0, 2-3 game sweeps. So that's the one thing Jordan never got a chance to do again once he got to be the best, was play against Bird and the Celtics.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about in regards to the Lakers was just, look, clearly Vanessa showed so much strength during that Kobe memorial. But after her, like, Michael's words were so impactful. Yeah. How, as someone who look, covered both those guys, right, at the highest levels, whether at the newspaper or on television, what was that relationship like, in your opinion?
Michael and Kobe?
Correct.
Yes, it was just as Michael described it. It was just as he described it. And that's the one thing I was privy to. It was very much off the record stuff back then, so Michael's put it on the record now by talking about it publicly. In real time, George, Michael, he thought it was just as he described it. He thought Kobe was a nuisance in a good way, in a great way, because he just thought, the kid was so talented. I mean, the kid now, 18, 19, 20 years old, people were talking about the air balls, and Jordan would say, I don't care about air balls. This kid has greatness in him. And so Jordan saw that. And Kobe would call Michael all the time. All the time. And just bug him about anything. If he saw him in person, he'd just pull him aside. And so when Michael says he was a nuisance, he was a little brother who was a nuisance, that's exactly it. There were games when, if I was covering the Lakers, where Kobe would have one of those great games. I was not at the 81-point game or some of those. But, I mean, he'd have just a great regular old game for him. 38 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, whatever, spectacular plays. And if we're standing outside the locker room, the media, as we line up to go in, Kobe would sort of drift over to me intentionally. I'd get an elbow or something, a playful punch. And he would just say in my ear where nobody else could hear, so what would your boy have done tonight? Would your boy have been this good tonight? How many would your boy have got? Would he have scored 40 on Vince Carter like that tonight, huh? And it was just great. I mean, I said to Kobe, this happened for years, these sort of little episodes. And I would say, can I talk about this? Can I write about this? No, 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 no. People will not understand it. They'll take it the wrong way. You know, and I understood in real time what he meant and why he meant it. But it was so great, and it was nothing but tribute. It was complete and utter tribute. And sometimes, a couple times I think I said, I'm going to call and tell him what you said. He goes, call him. Call that old man. Call him, tell him what he, if he's watching. Tell him what I did tonight. It was just, it was priceless, you know. I get goosebumps thinking about it. And the relationship was just as Michael described it at that memorial. He loved them. And it started out with Kobe just bugging the daylights out of him. And Kobe, you know, I wasn't around the Lakers as much as any number of media people. But when that happened, you know, when I was around the Lakers and that happened with Kobe, it was priceless for me just to be involved in that sort of thing.
Michael Wilbon, the great Michael Wilbon, with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. You can follow him on all his social accounts, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Real Mike Wilbon. A couple of quick ones on the way out for you, Michael. Obviously, there's a lot of news in the last day or so about the way Major League Baseball may be trying to handle their return, if there is indeed a return. Same thing with the NBA. And football's obviously taking a different tact as well. How do you feel each individual league has handled this particular situation and the attempt to move forward?
Well, we're just talking about PR. I mean, yes, it's news because anything anybody says now is news. It's all PR because they can't do anything. They can have a bunch of plans. It reminds, you know, what comes to mind is the Mike Tyson line. You know, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. And this virus, this condition of the world keeps hitting everybody in the mouth. And so they can make all the plans they want. It doesn't matter. I thought that Adam Silver said the most honest and meaningful thing of all 2 days ago when he said, I know less now than I knew a month ago. And he stopped. I'm not saying the NBA stopped planning because you know they didn't stop playing. You have to plan. But the plan doesn't mean jack. The Major League Baseball's plan at best was premature, is premature. I'm here in Arizona where it certainly... I'm in Scottsdale, and I've been here for 3-plus weeks. And, yes, there's less stress here. There are fewer cases here. There's fewer deaths here, many, 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 many fewer. Arizona is not being affected like New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, you know, Louisiana. It's just not. So I get it. You have all these parks. You have every reason for baseball to think, okay, maybe we could try this. But they're not trying anything soon. This notion that, you know, baseball is going to return in May. The hell baseball is going to return in May? It isn't. I mean, just people just have to open their eyes. How about Mike Gundy? How about him? How about him coming out?
I mean, that guy.
I mean, he's delusional. He looks like a fool. And if I was the president, I would call him in and say, if you utter another sound before this school has policy to announce, you're fired. You're an idiot. Because that's how he behaved. We're going to get students back in May. We're going to go. We're going to be in camp. I mean, so it doesn't matter what the league say. And this is why Adam Silver has gotten it right at every turn. When he said 2 days ago, I know less now than I knew before. We'll evaluate when we evaluate. That's it. That's the only response that matters publicly. Yes, your minions can sit back and develop a plan. If we can get back in late May, if we can get back in late June, if we can get back August 1st, you know, even all the stuff with golf. And golf can be... You can stage golf and practice social distancing. You can. Now, I hear people say they don't want to. I you know, great. You can do it. But the other sports, come on. They're not going to return until the world is in a much different place. They should have learned this, you know, already from the Chinese Basketball League, which was ready to come back, and they couldn't. So if they can't come back, and they're weeks and weeks ahead of us in terms of the direction this virus seems to take, the pattern. Then what makes people think we're going to be seeing any sports? I mean, I see this every morning. I see people on sports that are guessing about this. And if they could stop, I mean, just look at the place we are. And so people better get used to some more old games being shown. And in the draft, fine. But the notion that sports is around the corner and it's just, it's offensively stupid in some cases. Again, not the league should plan, George. They have to. But this notion that, you know, and even people in our business, when are you guys coming back? What? When are you going to leave your house and have a normal life again? We don't know. And so I you know, you got me into an agitated rant. And I guess that's necessary because that's what I'm probably going to go into today on social media. I'm glad that watching the Masters, the old Masters, the 86, will calm my temper. But when I see people saying stupid stuff like the Oklahoma State football coach, it makes me lose it.
Yeah, Mike Gundy was ridiculous, absurd. But look, even the most optimistic models, Michael, before I let you go, are saying that the first week of June we may be able to return to some slice of normalcy, and that's the optimistic model. So it's like hitting a moving target, and I think that people need to just kind of calm down. My theory on it has been, look, we've done a really good job right now as far as staying home, most people, right? And now is the time to tighten that grip, not loosen that grip.
Yeah, no, you're right. And moving target, but you know what? It's only moving in one. It's like trying to catch Usain Bolt. He's way out ahead.
Right.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know when this can, you know, we're so used to having things our way as a culture, and not just in America, the worldwide, but more here than anyplace else. We want it now. Get it to me now. And I don't know how I can go on unless you get it to me now. And we're in this place where we're not getting anything we want now. And that optimistic model, I'm hopeful. You know, people kept saying, Wendy, from talking to doctors, and that's what I do a lot of, George. I put my reporter hat back on, you know, which, let's face it, I've taken that off the last few years to spout opinions every day, to be a know-it-all. But I talk to doctors almost every day, just friends of mine, people who are involved intimately, a couple on the front lines. And if the NBA could get out there and play the playoffs in August, and I mean maybe in front of fans, in August, why wouldn't they do that? I know baseball doesn't want to hear that. Baseball wants to have 100 in the game. Just, sorry, you know, this thing isn't cooperating with you. I'm hoping the NFL season can be played, whether it's on time or not. Did you hear Myron Rowe? Myron Rowe, the former Florida State football player, who played in the NFL for 3 years and now is in neurosurgery at Mass General. The guy's a neurosurgeon. He was a Rhodes Scholar, by the way. When Myron Rowe was presented with some of this stuff on SportsCenter one morning, he called it ambitious. Some of these projections about returning at a certain time, he just said ambitious. There's a guy who played in the league, and he's saying, stop, slow it, slow your roll. And so I find that people in our industry aren't even listening to people who've been in the industry and are in medicine and have a better view of this than anybody. Myron Rowe, man, I just applaud him. I remember when he was a kid, he came and spent some time in our studio in PTI as a college player, and now he's a neurosurgeon. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to listen to him. I'm not going to listen to coaches and sports writers and fans. I'm going to listen to this guy for a while and people like him. So I'm going to do that when I get off with you. I'm going to talk to a doctor or two I know to say, what do you hear? What do you feel? And some of the guys I'm talking to, George, just in a way of wrapping this up, I'm sorry for being so long-winded. These are sports fanatics. My doctor buddies are season ticket holders to stuff. One of them to the Washington Redskins his entire life, and he's 60. And one of them to the Suns and the Cardinals. And, you know, like ASU, I mean, the people I'm talking to are vested in sports. They are dying without it. And yet, you know, they're not going to sit there and say, yeah, we got this model that says we'll be back in the middle of May. So I listen to them, and people should listen to the smartest folks out there, not the idiots who pop up every now and then.
I'm with you wholeheartedly. You're never going long with me, my man. You can talk as long as you want, all right? You know that. You know I love you. You know I appreciate every moment that you take to hang out with us here on the show, and I always love running into you. And I'm hopeful that maybe sometime in the summer I will run into you at an NBA game. So
this is like the most fascinating NBA season for different reasons. One of the most fascinating that I've ever seen. And I've been covering this the league since 1985, and I've watched it all my life. And the league has never had this uncertainty of who's going to be a favorite going into the playoffs. It's killing me.
Yeah.
And I was planning on spending a whole, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in L.A. because, you know, we all presume Clippers-Lakers for a conference final. And I thought, I'm just going to come to L.A. and just stay. This could make it's going to last longer than the Summer Olympics, which it would. The networks would drag that out, you know, for about 19 days. And I to not have it, man, it's just, it's one of many things where you just feel, I'm not going to take things for granted the next time. On the other side of this, when we get to the other side, whatever normal looks like, I am not going to take things for granted as much. And, of course, within 2 or 3 years, we will. We'll take everything for granted again.
Yeah.
That's who we are as a people and a culture. But in terms of the basketball, man, to have no Lakers Clippers is just, it's just a bummer. And so I hope I see you. I hope, even if there's a miniature version of that, if there's an August version, you know, I hope there is. I hope that the world changes to the point where we can see the things that fascinate us in better times.
Michael Wilbon, you are the best. Follow him on social media. Real Mike Wilbon is where you find him on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Stay healthy. Stay safe, you and yours. We appreciate it. We'll see you and talk to you soon.
George, you do the same. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much. There he is, Mike Wilbon with us here. Coming up next, we will talk to Amanda Truong. She is our senior shout-out. We're back in a couple of minutes. Sedano Show with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, like our senior shout-out, Amanda Truong of CSULB Track and Field. She'll join us in just a moment. I mentioned this segment presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. So Amanda Truong now joins us here, CSULB Track and Field. Amanda, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you and yours are all safe and sound and healthy.
Yes, we are. I'm still living with my roommates in Long Beach. So, yeah, we're just quarantined, not doing much.
Are you guys on campus or are you off campus?
We're off campus. We're in a house.
Okay, good, 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 good. Because, you know, we've heard some nightmarish stories about kids on campus still. So I wanted to make sure that wasn't the case. So tell me about just how this thing unfolded for you guys. Like when you got the word about the way this thing was going to end for you, what was that like?
So I just remembered that I think it was a Thursday, and we had weights in the morning. And then they said, oh, practice is going to be canceled in the afternoon. And we're like, oh, why is this coronavirus really going to stop us from competing? And then they held an emergency team meeting that same day instead of practice. And we were sitting on the bleachers, all spaced out. It was like social distancing already. Mm-hmm. And I just remember my coach or the head coach talking about how we're not going to be continuing this season, and I was devastated. I was heartbroken, especially because it was my last year. I was planning on it for it to be my last year. I was mentally prepared. I was physically prepared, and it was like, it felt like a nightmare.
I would imagine. Well, especially after you had such a great year the year before. I know that you were the Big West point scorer at the conference championship in the discus and hammer throw. And, you know, I feel like you were like every year you got better, clearly, as we look at the way you competed.
Yes. Yeah. So I trained and I competed every meet this year as if it was my last. And I wanted everyone on my team to know that anything could happen, you know, like an injury. And I never thought this pandemic would hit us this year. So it was heartbreaking for me because my season just came to an abrupt end. And I don't know, everyone was in shock. And I'm glad the NCAA is doing something about it. But not everyone has the same plans for next year. Like some people are starting their careers and we don't know about scholarships. So
what is the rest of the academic year look like for you right now?
So everything is done online now. I have all my classes online. Even lectures, we're doing everything through Zoom meetings. So we're still getting that face-to-face virtual interaction with our professors. But it really doesn't feel the same. I feel like I'm more focused when I'm sitting in a classroom and I'm with my peers and my classmates. But we're doing the best we can in school. I'm really upset that I won't be able to walk at graduation. Everything is being postponed. So I'm glad that they're not canceling graduation, but it's being postponed to like fall. So.
Well, that's good news, certainly. Yeah. I mean, I was just going to ask you if there was a way to kind of reschedule that. And it seems like perhaps that might be the case, you know, even though you're not going to be able to compete at the highest level anymore moving forward. Was there any talk about maybe you being allowed to come back to compete and getting some sort of waiver? Was that ever anything that even crossed your mind?
So right when I found out that I was losing this season, I felt like, oh, like it's over, it's done, like there's no way that I can come back, because I planned for my life next year, and I plan to graduate in 4 years, so I wasn't planning on coming back for a fifth year to compete in track. But I realized that this is an opportunity that not many people get, so I'll still be going to Cal State Long Beach next year for the teaching credential program. And what they were thinking was I can finish all my credential classes. And in the spring, I was planning on student teaching. But instead of teaching in the spring, they said that I can compete and postpone my student teaching to like fall 2021.
Oh, that's great news then. Is that so something you're interested in?
Yes, it's something I'm super excited for. I did not plan this at all, but I thought about it over the last couple weeks because I just didn't feel like I was at peace with not finishing my last season.
Yeah, of course. That makes total sense. Amanda Truong joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. She's a track and field star at CSULB, a senior. So that's certainly good news. But before I let you go, let me ask you a question about how you were nominated. How your brother nominated you. Did you know that that was going to be the case? When did you find out about that?
Okay, so he told me on April 1st that my aunt sent him this flyer on this nomination, and he texted it to me, and I was like, oh, what's that? And then he was like, oh, it's just an April Fool's joke. Like, don't look anything into it. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. So a couple of days ago, actually, I think it was Monday, he called me with my aunt on the phone, and he was like, you're going to be on the talk show. I nominated you. He sent me a video of what he sent in, and I love my brother so much. It was a big surprise to me.
So, that's awesome. You want to shout him out real quick if he's listening?
Yeah. So shout out to my brother, Will Truong. He's been my coach all through high school and some of college. He did coach me in college. And he also has his own brand. He does a lot of athletic wear, and his Instagram is Empowered by Will. So his story's on there. I support him. A lot of people support him. My track team supports him. And I'm very appreciative that he put me on this talk show.
That's awesome. And we're happy to have you, and we're happy to hear that you're going to compete again next year. That's a great story. And listen, stay safe, stay healthy. Good luck with everything. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. You have a great day, too.
You too. Take care. There's Amanda Truong, CSULB track and field, and she's going to compete next year, which is awesome. So that's our senior shout out. Again, every day this week, we will have a senior shout out. If you want to nominate, and next week for that matter, if you want to nominate more folks, you can email their first and last name, city and sport at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. That's ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, or send a video on Instagram or Twitter with the same information to at ESPN Los Angeles' Twitter and Instagram account. All right, coming up next, What is the plan for the NBA? We'll talk to Baxter Holmes, who's got a great story about that next here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sedano Show with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Baxter Holmes will join us here in just one moment. He's one of our great NBA feature writers. He'll join us in just a second. Thanks to Amanda Truong, our senior shout-out for the day. We are highlighting and having folks nominate seniors both in high school and college. We will have them on each and every day for the next couple of weeks since a lot of those kids, unfortunately, were not able to finish their athletic season. We are having someone on. We had Amanda Truong today of CSU LB Track and Field, and it's good to hear that she's getting a waiver to compete again next year, even as a grad student, which is pretty awesome, in the discus and hammer throw. So that's cool stuff. So every day we've had a different person from a different athletic background, and it's been fun. And thanks again to Michael Wilbon for joining us earlier. If you missed any part of the show, you can subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, on the ESPN app, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. So Baxter Holmes now joins us here. Baxter, hope you and yours are safe and healthy, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Just staying home.
I hear you. Good to hear. So I know you've got your story out. Yesterday it came out. I wanted to talk to you about some of the particulars of it. But for those that didn't get a chance to read it, what was, I guess the question is, people want to know, everyone's got it on their mind, right? Like, how does the NBA try to get back? And clearly testing is the key to all of this. What have you learned about the potential of testing for the NBA and beyond?
Right. Well, the first thing is that, and a lot of people around the NBA have great hope for this, that science and technology and medicine, there's a great collaboration going on right now across borders, and that there could be advanced breakthroughs, you know, in a matter of over, let's say, what things could look like in a week from now or 2 weeks from now. So there's a lot of things that are moving in a fast pace. Obviously, as you mentioned, testing is the great key, and rapid response testing, being able to know perhaps in a matter of minutes, if someone is a carrier of the virus, is very crucial to potentially setting up, you know, maybe a safe environment or kind of a bubble-like situation. You know, the logistics would still have to be worked out, but that's the first major thing. The other thing I would say is the NBA is very aware and sensitive to the fact that testing remains a great issue in terms of the availability, a great issue nationwide, even globally. And so they want to, they want to make sure that they're not jumping the line, so to speak. And a lot of people in the league talk about this, you know, that there's healthcare workers and people on the front lines that need testing and availability for testing far more than the league right now. But they're going to do their due diligence and try to stay on top of whatever technology is available and try to work through scenarios to potentially get basketball back as quickly as possible, but as safely as possible.
Baxter Holmes with us here. And this rapid testing, like, how rapid are we talking? Because I know the FDA recently approved a 15-minute test. Like, what would the test entail?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Certainly, the device you just mentioned, I've heard of tests, and I don't know exactly everything the NBA is looking at, what is widely available, what might be proprietary, but I've heard of tests that inside of potentially 5 minutes or under 10, but, you know, 3 to 5 minutes even, where, you know, someone might just, you know, prick their finger and with a drop of blood, kind of a diabetes-like testing system. And, you know, different people around the league have talked about hypothetical scenarios where, you know, you could potentially line up players and essential personnel, have people tested before entering a kind of arena or some kind of situation where a game would be held again. I don't know what the logistics would look like. And then, you know, maybe you could have a situation where you could have a game again. Now, the thing that a lot of people are concerned about is, you know, the possibility of a false negative, or just of the test not working, and perhaps someone gets through, or perhaps they have like a low viral load, and they're asymptomatic, and it doesn't necessarily register, but they're a carrier. And so, again, there's a lot of hurdles in logistics, but testing and rapid response testing is the key, as one GM said, just to really for any of us to kind of return to a workplace setting and feel safe, you know, while going there.
And my guess is the testing would be something that they would do regularly, right? Like daily, perhaps even more?
Yeah, that's something that's, again, that, you know, logistically would have to be worked out. But I have had that discussion with some GMs, like, you know, what do you think? How often would this have to happen? Or different medical people around the league? And the interesting kind of question, again, that we're all playing with hypotheticals here, is, okay, like, let's say that we're testing every day. What do we do then for the players? Like, do we keep them cooped up in a kind of quarantine-type situation where everybody's sequestered to a hotel and nobody has exposure to outside other people who might be carrying it? Like, how do you work this out? And in my conversations with people around the league, it's really kind of reinforced the whole fragility of this situation, and that it may ultimately be, at least as of today, again, things could change maybe a week from now, impossible to create a perfect environment. And that there would be, you know, some measure of risk on some level, you know, with trying to get games going again, at least at this point in time.
Yeah, nothing is 100%, right? Like, you're right. Like, we can't do the Truman Show. Like, that's not going to work. So it's just not, it's not realistic, to your point. When you've been speaking to these GMs, you know, we've heard a lot about Vegas being the destination. And look, it makes a lot of sense. You do Summer League there. They do the G League Showcase there, which in essence is kind of the model for this, because everyone stays at those properties at Mandalay Bay, all those G League teams. Now, granted, the NBA teams have larger staffs and even potentially larger rosters, but they do have a model for this. But is Vegas the city you've heard the most as far as a particular location?
I've heard Vegas mentioned several times. I've heard of people talking about, you know, other cities where there's not, I don't know if the term is like an outbreak or the numbers are very low in terms of confirmed cases. But if some of those cities, and I don't have the list off the top of my head, but being potential spots, I've already heard people throw out, you know, they believe that there could be two sites. There could be an Eastern Conference site and a Western Conference site, and try to keep people kind of in those particular areas. And, you know, a lot of people, that it's, again, there's the testing is the key thing, but as they go down the road with the hypotheticals, then it's like, okay, let's say we're limited to essential personnel. What does that look like? And do we, you know, how do we try to figure out all of this? And it's really just such a tricky, fragile thing. But again, a lot of the things that NBA people come back to is we cannot proceed and we wouldn't want to proceed while the curve is, you know, trending upwards, is at the apex. Just that, you know, they feel that they have to be kind of socially responsible right now and sensitive to as to their place in all of this, you know, given, you know, whether it's hospitals being overwhelmed or shortage of equipment or whatever. But just it's important to be socially conscious about how they proceed.
Oh, no question about it. Because that's the right thing to do, number one, but clearly also the optics of it. And it's why baseball, yeah. Jeff Passan was on this show yesterday. I believe every word Jeff Passan said, and he also qualified it every time he was on anywhere, including here, about, look, this is like hitting a moving target, right? Like, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, and there's not a lot of things in there. You know, nothing is in ink per se. There's a reason baseball walked some of that back yesterday in a statement, because as you said, the optics of it, the social responsibility of it, and again, the difficulty of all of this.
Yeah. It's incredibly hard. And we know when you talk to people around the league, especially those who work in a kind of a medical capacity for teams, to hear them describe some of these logistical things, you know, like, okay, let's say we create a bubble, like, how can we be sure that, you know, there's not an error on this test or not? Or, you know, or what are we just going to keep players locked up the whole time? Or, I mean, as they rattled off the list of all the logistical things that would need to be worked out really for even just one game to take place again in the meantime, it's pretty staggering. And it shows you the amount of hurdles that have to be overcome. And but the one thing that a lot of people do come back to, they come back to two key things. The first is, you know, they feel that as the financial losses mount, as more people miss paychecks, that there will be an increased sense of urgency to try to resume games of some form or fashion sooner rather than later. But they'll also say, like, look, there's, you know, we don't know where we'll be in a week. There could be some kind of breakthrough, something new gets approved, whether it's a piece of technology or something else, and it could change the entire course of what we're looking at. And people are really, I don't want to say clinging to that hope, but they believe it, that, you know, the whole picture could change pretty soon.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that the ingenuity has been ramped up both in the public and private sector. And I mean, look, just even the type of tests we're talking about over the last 2 weeks has certainly ramped up. And just the availability, I think, is the question now, right? But the technology clearly being utilized in the proper fashion at this point with some of the conversations that we're having, not just you and I, but just that we're having in general. Baxter, thank you so much for stopping by, man. Stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again and great work.
Thanks, brother. I'll talk to you soon, man. Take care.
You too. Take care. There he is, Baxter Holmes with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. So look, clearly a lot of work being done there. And I think there's some hope. Right? Which is kind of what we started doing the show. There's hope that things are progressing a little better. It doesn't mean, though, that we let loose. It means we tighten the grip. And that's kind of where I've been at this point moving forward. But I do think that as we're hitting the peak here in some cities over the next couple of days, I do think that, you know, again, ingenuity both here in this country and beyond with people helping each other across the world, I think creates that slight optimism. Which could be beneficial for all of us. Forget about just sports, but just beneficial for all of us. All right, coming up next, we got another Number Mania edition to throw out. If you don't know what Number Mania is, we're coming up with debates on who the best numbers are for each, who the best players or coaches in some cases, and managers in baseball were numbers, are for each individual number in Southern California history. We're calling it Number Mania. We've unveiled two numbers today. Number two and number three actually have a debate. We've put them up on our ESPN Los Angeles social page for you to vote on already. We'll talk about some of that. We've got a couple of things to get into. Greg's got some personal stuff that he's going to tell us. He actually asked me a question that I felt was slightly insulting. And I'm not trying to insult anyone by what they like and don't like, but I felt like just there's a certain stigma with what he asked me. And I'll reveal that in just a few moments. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any of our interviews today, all of them were excellent. Amanda Truong, our senior shout out. Baxter Holmes was just on with us, ESPN feature writer. And he's got some great stuff on how the NBA is dealing with the coronavirus and how they are trying to move forward. Michael Wilbon was just phenomenal, but you know that because Michael Wilbon is, you know, a Hall of Famer. Oh my God, I didn't even congratulate him on the Hall of Fame. I forgot to do that.
George, you had him for 30 minutes and you never congratulated him. You better text him immediately.
I am. Oh, I'm such a dope. God, I forgot. Because so many things have happened since then, though.
You know, he probably got off of the phone and was like, he didn't even say anything to me about the Hall of Fame.
No, that's not him at all. He's like literally one of the nicest human beings you'll ever come across. It's crazy, like how good he is. But if you missed any of our interviews today, I literally did right now when that happened and I said that out loud. I did the Kevin from the Home Alone thing where I put my hands on my face like, oh, no. If you missed our interview today with any of those great folks, go check out our entire interview on demand section in the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? All right. So, couple of things. The Lakers are having a couple of conference calls today with one with Rob Pelinka that I believe just started now. And one with LeBron at 4. And then the Clippers are having one with Lawrence Frank and Doc Rivers at 1 o'clock. So we will have tomorrow Dave McMiniman and Om Yongmasuk to join us to talk about all that stuff. So and what Rob and LeBron and Doc and Lawrence all talked about. So we'll have some of that tomorrow for you. Speaking of today, though, Number Mania. So we have two polls up today, right? And by the way, the audience, this is your time to chime in. We only have like 6 or 7 minutes here at 877-710-ESPN. So we have two polls up today. The first poll is who is the best number two in LA sports history? Tommy Lasorda, Derek Fisher, or Kawhi Leonard? And what are the results right now on that one, Greg?
So as of right now, with 52.8% of the votes, is Tommy Lasorda, which I'm happy to see.
It should be that way, yes.
Yes, he should be. He's a Hall of Famer. Derek Fisher is 38.5%, and then Kawhi Leonard is way, way in the back with 8.7%. And that's either because we are the Lakers station or it's because it's his first year as a Clipper.
There's part of that, too, for sure, and it's both probably. All right, and then we have number three we've put up on ESPN Los Angeles now. What's number three? It's
Chris Paul, Carson Palmer. Right? Carson Palmer from
and
USC,
Anthony Davis.
And yeah. Anthony Davis. Now, if you had to guess legitimately who you thought was the best number three in LA.
The best number three should be Chris Paul, but it's going to be Anthony Davis on the vote.
It's not even close. 76% of the vote goes to Anthony Davis right now, followed by Chris Paul and Carson Palmer with at 12.3 and 11.9%.
And the reason it should be Chris Paul today, if we're not being biased, is if both their careers ended today, Chris Paul is a surefire lock for the Hall of Fame. Anthony Davis is a Hall of Famer in my opinion, but he's not the surefire lock first ballot guaranteed like that Chris Paul is today.
And if they went in as something, would Anthony Davis go in as, if it ended right now, would he go in as a Pelican or a Laker? And would Chris Paul go in as a Hornet or a Clipper?
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't know. But I'm curious to see how people feel about our number mania polls for today. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you're not, I don't care if you're a Laker or a Clipper fan. If you're not voting for Tommy Lasorda, you're doing it wrong. That's just me. I know he only has 52% of the vote, but the other 48%, you got it wrong in my estimation. But 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. I apologize. We haven't had a lot of time to take calls today because we've been guest heavy. But tomorrow, number four, right, is a good debate that we will put up tomorrow.
That one's a really good debate. I don't know. Do you want to give it away already or do you want to
say we can give it away. It's almost the end of the show.
Right. So for number four, that one's going to be super tough because you got a lot of good players. It's going to be for the Lakers. Byron Scott was number four.
Mm-hmm. My guy.
Hall of Famer Duke Snyder for the Dodgers was number four.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Byron.
Gil Hodges was also number four, but his number isn't even retired for the Dodgers. Rob Blake for the Kings is also a Hall of Famer with a retired number.
Oh, man. Listen, that's when yours truly was a big NHL fan. Give me the 90s NHL. EA Sports NHL 94, and give me the LA Kings with Rob Blake and Gretzky and Marty McSorley and Luke Robitaille, and I will school you in NHL 94.
NHL 94 was maybe the best video game out there, especially at that time. NHL 94 was so much fun. I was always the Canadiens and just ripped through people.
Oh, man, the Kings. How do you not want to be the Kings? You're from L.A.
I did want to be the Kings, but the Canadiens were so much better and showed it in the Stanley Cup final, too. I love the Kings. I love that team.
But they were cool, and Gretzky made them cool, and the uniforms. Anyway.
Oh, man, Yari Curry, Marty McSorley, who screwed everything up.
So that's tomorrow, right? Number four is tomorrow. But you can vote at ESPN Los Angeles on number two and number three. And every day, we're going to have two for you. Every day, we're going to have two for you. We're going to unveil one each hour here on the show. And we're going to do our number mania. There's some numbers that are going to be absurd. Like, go think about 32 for a second. We got a long ways to get there, but that one is going to be ridiculously tough. Let's go to the phones here, 877-710-ESPN. Shurkin, what's up, Shurkin?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
I was calling to see, how did we forget Anthony Pig Miller for number two for the Lakers?
Anthony Peeler?
Anthony Pig Miller.
Oh, you can't really. I mean, how many guys are you going to go with? You know what I'm saying? Like, Tommy Lasorda, Derek Fisher won more championships, right?
Oh, yeah, I was joking. And Fidel 3 for number three also.
Oh, okay. I was like, really? I thought you were serious for a second. It's funny. Greg actually thought we should do number one, and he was going to put Anthony Peeler on there. I'm like, look, Anthony Peeler was a nice player, but let's slow down there a little bit.
Not at all. He couldn't make number one.
Yeah. Are you safe and sound and healthy, you and yours, man?
Yes, sir. How about you and yours?
All good. Thank you so much, sir. And thank you for tuning in and thank you for calling in, okay? Take care. Let me grab Sergio real quick in Eagle Rock. Sergio!
What's up, my dude?
What's up, man?
So I met Tommy Lasorda when I was working at City of Hope. Really nice guy, good people, and honestly very down to earth. And hands down, it has to be him. Don't get me wrong, I met D. Fish at a Sparks game, of all places. Hey, Lasorda is where it's at, man.
All right, Serge, appreciate it, man. Stay healthy, stay safe, take care. All right, so yeah, I feel like the Lasorda stuff. Shurkin was scaring me a little bit. I'm like, Greg, are we serious? Like, I didn't want to make fun of him. Like, I'm like, I don't know, man, you know? But thankfully, he let me know he was joking. You never know when people are joking, you know? So,
there,
I want to be mean.
It actually could have been Anthony Pig Miller just coming on and being like, hey, how come you're not talking about me? So
right. That's why you never know who's calling in. Exactly. So I didn't want to be mean. Because I didn't want to end up with the viral moment that makes me feel mean. Like I know I can be I can come across as a jerk sometimes, but I'm doing it with love is the way I would describe it. Bergman, you're getting a dog today. We got 10 seconds. Tell us about your dog.
If there's no rain, I'm going to go get it, but it's a bulldog mix and it's going to be, it's very
God, you're terrible at this.
I was trying.
All right, Lola. All right. Thanks to all our guests, Michael Wilbon, Amanda Trong, Baxter. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to Lauren Gregg and his new dog, Lola. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya.